World War II, the consumer demand reduced and dropped. Thus, supply exceeded demand. Again, product was available in huge quantities, but demand was very less. Retailers experienced huge competition, leading to a transformation in the role of the sales functions and the sales team. This is when the era of consumer orientation started, because the retailers realized that there was huge competition, supply was more than the demand, and now they had to persuade the customers to buy. So the role of the salesperson started to change. Instead of only transactions completion, they now had to persuade the customers to buy. Retailers understood that to succeed, they had to satisfy the needs and wants of the consumer. They started surveys, research, promotions, and advertisements to counter competitors. This shift required a bigger sales force. It required training the sales force, recruiting more people, and managing the sales team. The need to sell became the focal point of all retail decisions. That is why this development phase of the selling function is referred to as the consumer-oriented period. Here, the retailers started orienting themselves with the needs, wants of the consumer. In 1990, started the relationship period. A new age started, which was the information age. Information technology radically changed selling methods and attitudes towards selling function. Increase in competition changed the sales and the selling methods. The retailers now had to differentiate from the ever-increasing competitors. Retailers had to show how they are different. What is it that their product or their retail strategies is different from the other competitors? Emphasis was on information in dealing with customers, developing relationships, and adding value to the consumer. Various methods of promotion like telemarketing, internet, mass mailing, letters, brochures were being used to reach out to the target customer. Now let us move on to the next section, which is called AIDCA. This is an acronym. This process was described by Dale Carnegie. It shows how the seller works through the five steps of AIDCE to secure a buying commitment from the prospect or probable buyers. This five-step method worked when selling simple products or commodity services in short sales cycle environments. So it worked when the product was simple or a staple product in short sales cycles, which means a product, again, which is simple, a product where the customer is not thinking, there is not much research or extensive thinking involved. This method works best in retail, commodities, and direct selling, that is in less complex environments, in environments which are selling in a short sales cycle. Now let us understand what are these five steps of AIDCE. That is attention, interest, desire, conviction, and action. Attention is created through sizzle. The salesperson has to grab the attention of the prospect by many methods. He has to create a stir. He has to ensure that the customer gets hooked onto that product or service. That was the step of attention. The next step is interest, which was aroused through linking features to the benefits, what is the product, what are its attributes, and how will they be of help or value to the prospect. Desire was created by linking the product to the needs and wants of the customer, by telling the customer that if you own this product, this is what will be the outcome. The outcome had to be in a very positive manner, where the customer visualizes himself in a situation using that product. Conviction. The seller or the sales team had to convince the customer to buy by overcoming various objections. The last step was action. The salesperson or retailer had to actively and assertively close the deal and secure a commitment to purchase from the prospect. The next concept is that of FAB, features or functions, advantages and benefits. In 1970s, the AIDCA was changed to be a focus on features of the product or the functions of the product, advantages of the product and its benefits, which was used to describe the term FAB. In this era, salespeople focused on conveying the message of features as well as benefits of the product. Let us look at some examples. Let's say the product being discussed is a car. The feature is a hybrid engine. So what is the advantage? It is the fact that the car runs only part-time with gasoline. The benefit is that the customer gets to save money. So here we are linking the feature, the advantage and the benefits of a product. Let's look at another example. Let's say we are talking about a lamp and the feature in question is an LED lamp. So the advantage is that it creates less heat and uses less electricity. What is the benefit of this feature? It saves money on electricity bills. So this is the concept of features, advantages and benefits of a product, which was used mainly in the late 20th century. Now we come to the next concept, which is NLP or Neuro-Linguistic Programming. Throughout the 1980s, there was great awareness of the fact that aggression from the salesperson created defensiveness in the customer. But trust and understanding created cooperation. We have discussed that in the development of the selling function, there were phases when the sales team or the retailer used pressure tactics to sell. They used unethical methods of selling. All these led to unhappy customers. It led to defensiveness in the customer. And by the time we reached 1980s, it was a known fact that aggression from the salespeople created defensiveness in the customer. The customer was very, very wary of buying from that retailer who used pressure tactics or dishonest means of selling. The fact was already well established by then that trust and understanding between the retailer and the buyer created cooperation and happy customers. In this context, psychological practice of NLP, which is Neuro-Linguistic Programming, became important to the sales training industry. This new trend matured in the 1990s and focused on building trust between the retailer and the consumer. Now let us understand the concept of AIDA. Here we have listed the 7 steps of selling, which we've discussed earlier in this chapter, and we have classified these 7 steps into the 4 stages of the AIDA concept. So we start from the bottom, which is the first step of prospecting and qualifying of buyers. Step 1, 2 are included in the attention phase, which means grabbing the attention of the consumer. The next phase of interest, creating interest in the consumer, is of step 3, which is presentation. desire in the consumer is created via step 4, which is demonstration of the product, and step 5, which is handling objections. The last one, which is action, where actually the consumer decides to buy the product, is the close, step 6 and 7. Step 7, which is follow up by the retailer. So here in this slide, we have the AIDA concept and the personal selling process being shown side by side. Okay, so let us understand how this concept works. Again, we have AIDA, which is awareness, interest, desire, and action, or the actual sale, against which we will look at what are the various factors which influence these. So in awareness, you can't buy what you don't know about. So if you do not know a product exists, or you don't know what are the features, advantages and benefits of a product, how will it create a desire? Therefore, the retailer has to first inform the target customer, make them aware about the existence of a particular brand or product. This is done through various promotion and sales channels. Creating interest. Here, the relevant question is the offering or product a likely fit for the need? Is this the product? Is this product what the consumer is looking at? This is influenced by promotions about the product. The next phase of desire. Is the product desired over all alternatives? So is this product A, that is being sold by the retailer, preferred over all other options or alternatives that the competitors are offering? How do we influence this decision or the desire phase? Is through product features, through price and sales channels. The last phase of action or actual sale, can the sale be consummated? Can the sale actually materialize? Is the transaction happening? This will be influenced by the availability of the product, the consumer's budget, etc. Now let us move on to the concept of value-based selling. In this consumer-centric model, so the key term is consumer-centric. The salesperson's role is to fully understand the customer's requirements and the conditions for complete satisfaction of the customer. This concept of value-based selling is in stark contrast to the AIDC and the FAB methods. So here, the focus is not on the features or benefits, it is on the value or the value that is perceived by the customer. It is an ethical approach. There are no pressure tactics, there are no dishonest methods of selling, and this ethical approach is aligned with the customer. It is focused on understanding, solving problems and helping people make mutually beneficial buying decisions. So we can safely say that the value-based selling is focused on the customer and making their customer satisfaction. So we can clearly say that value-based selling is focused on the customer and giving them a very satisfying experience. In the next section, we are going to talk about the importance of the selling function. Needless to say, selling is the bedrock of retail, which is an extremely critical function in order to achieve retail success. A retailer cannot sustain without sales, so if sales are not happening, the retailer has to close shop. Without sufficient sales volume, a retailer will not get enough financial resources to produce more product or to produce variety or to innovate or design new products. Rotation of inventory is extremely important for the health of a retail business. If inventory does not rotate, the retailer is left with a lot of dead stock. As a result, his money or cash is blocked in the dead stock. He needs to encash the inventory and be able to use that money for other activities or functions. If you see this picture, it shows an Eskimo who lives in an igloo in the North Pole carrying a fridge into his house. That picture shows the importance of selling, which means a salesperson who is trained and efficient can sell even a fridge to an igloo, to an Eskimo. That shows the importance of the selling person. A sales team can be likened to the heart of the retailer's body, without which the retailer cannot exist. In self-service retail formats, selling people may not really be required. They may not be a necessity, but they definitely add value to the retail business. Without a competent salesperson on the floor, potential customers may lose interest and check out products and prices at either a neighboring store or a competitor's store. It's a known fact that a person who uses a dressing room and has a helpful salesperson there next to him will buy nearly 4 times more product than he had intended to buy. So that shows the importance of a retail salesperson. Even though in a self-service retail format, salespeople are not really required, they only help the customer in locating the product on the various shelves, maybe help them in carrying products to the sales room in case of apparel, to the trial room in case of apparel, and help them in transactions. Listening to the consumer, connecting with them, and creating empathy is something that only a salesperson can do. Understanding the consumer, their needs and wants, their culture, lifestyle, all these play a very crucial role in selling. Therefore, salespeople are at the forefront of the retailer's relationships with its customer base. In today's digital world, the concept of selling has taken new dimensions. A lot of goods and services are being sold over the internet, through social media, through e-commerce or mobiles, through WhatsApp. Many customers are not satisfied with the recommendations and would rather interact with a live person. Therefore, a lot of websites today use online chats. They offer online sales representatives or customer support who help the customers make a purchase decision, thereby stressing on the importance of the retail salesperson. Let's go on to the next section, where we are going to talk of the role of a retail salesperson. The role of a retail salesperson has undergone drastic changes in recent years. Like we said, today is the day and age of different kinds of retail formats, which are changing, which are evolving on a daily basis. The departmental stores, the hypermarkets, all of them work on a self-service format, thereby reducing the role of the retail salesperson. But we still have retail salespeople. Obviously, they are playing some role. So let's understand what is that. Today, the consumer has access to huge resources, blogs, internets, manufacturers' manuals or spec sheets are also available online. Review of other customers is available online through various social media. Even people whom you do not know, you can access their customers or feedback online. So if you want to go on a vacation, you can go to makemytrip.com and read about the various resorts or operators, tour operators that exist in another part of the world. All this is possible through social media and internet. Therefore, there is huge competition. This fierce competition has led to more retailers and e-tailers and the customers have to choose from this huge array of retailers and e-tailers that exist. Therefore, the role of the salesperson is becoming more and more critical for the retailer to stay profitable, and it is becoming more and more complex. It is more difficult to build relation with customers in a B2C. A B2C is a business to consumer model. In a B2C, the customer spends very limited time or little time with the salesperson. As we said, it could be over-the-counter transaction where the customer picks up the product from the shelves, gives it to the cashier, pays the money, gets the bill, and leaves. Interaction is very little in a self-service format. Moreover, okay, like we said, retailers nowadays prefer to follow the self-service format until and unless it is a product where a lot of presentation or demonstration has to be done. The role of online retail salespeople is more instrumental and essential to develop personal empathy and dialogue than just the selling or transaction. The salesperson has a tremendous impact on the retailer's image also. Obviously, the salesperson represents the retailer. The salespeople are the face of the retailer. Therefore, the customer equates the salespeople with the retailers they represent. Retail salespeople are on the front line as they deal directly with the customers. And we know that anybody who deals with the customer directly is very powerful because they get feedback from the customer, first-hand feedback, which is very precious and is used to influence the marketing strategies, the retail mix, product assortments, the pricing strategies, the promotional strategies. All that can be used to plan on how to satisfy the customer better. Now let us talk about various rules of selling. Selling is extremely complex. It is diverse, considering that we have to sell via brick and mortar stores. Selling also is taking place through websites, through mobiles. Therefore, the rules of selling are complex in today's environment. We can only generalize. Moreover, all customers are different. They will be influenced by different aspects of the product, by different benefits or features of the product, therefore making the task of a retail salesperson extremely difficult. The consumer today is well informed, well traveled, aware of various options available, various product features available, and undertakes a lot of online research before making a purchase decision. A retail salesperson in today's vibrant and dynamic environment must therefore be well equipped and well versed with the acceptable practices of modern selling. So the retail salesperson needs to know all that the consumer knows already. And he needs to know more. He needs to understand the consumer also. In addition, he needs to know what are acceptable practices of selling, what are ethical practices of selling. First rule of selling, sell to people. Obviously, we are selling to people, but what does this mean? It means adapt your sales presentation for each prospect or client. The product is the same, but change your presentation, change your technique, change the mode of talking or presenting. Every time the customer is different. So the retail salesperson has to see who is the customer, what is the product he's looking at, what are his thoughts, what is his lifestyle, and tailor his presentation for each customer. Asking the right questions. This is the most important skill a retail salesperson should have. If they do not ask the right questions, they don't get the right answers. So what questions should the retail person ask? Ask the five W's, which are who, what, where, why, when and how. Listen. Listening is extremely important part of selling. Listening is different from hearing. Listening is understanding while hearing. So this retail salesperson needs to understand what is it that the customer wants. If a retail salesperson is a good listener, he will in most probability also be a good seller. Link features to benefits. Turn the product features into benefits. So you're not only going to link the features and benefits, you make sure that these features also are perceived as benefits by the consumer. The next rule of selling is to sell the results. This means, what is it that the product or the service will do for the customer? So the retail salesperson has to help the customer visualize or see what will the result of buying that product be. So essentially, you're telling the customer that if you buy this product, this is what is going to be the result for you. Don't rely on logic. Sales is not based on logic, it is based on emotions. Research has shown that 80% of the buying decisions are based on emotions and only 20% on logic. Now, isn't that contrary to what we thought? We always thought that we as customers are very rational. We always think before we buy, we plan, we think of the price versus the features or the benefits that we are going to get. But no, we are not right. 80% of decision making is based on emotions. And this rational part, the logical part of buying decisions is only 20%. Be selective in the new use of product knowledge. Okay, so the retail salesperson has lots of knowledge about the product, its benefits, its specifications, etc. But do not tell the customer all these benefits or aspects of the product knowledge. Make sure you are talking just the right things about the product. Identify the USP or the unique selling proposition of the product. Highlight the USP at the right time. Timing is extremely important in selling. Let us look at the buying considerations that the customers make while buying or deciding to buy a product. Features. So you can see this is a pyramid divided into three layers. Features is at the bottom and obviously the biggest, followed by functional benefits and emotional benefits. So the consumer is going to look at a mix of features, functional benefits and emotional benefits to make a buying decision. The next section of chapter 1 deals with ethics in sales environment. What are ethics? Ethics is a system of moral values or principles that define right or wrong, usually in terms of rights of the customer, obligations, benefits to the society, fairness, or specific virtues. What this means is that ethics are moral principles that govern a person's behavior or conducting of an activity. So, ethics means it is a guiding principle which is going to help a person decide between right or wrong, between good or bad. We will discuss ethics in the selling function. Demonstrating ethical sales practice is good business. Since ethics in sales environment. Demonstrating ethical sales practice is good business sense for a retailer, since it helps earn the trust and loyalty of the consumer and strengthens the reputation of the retailer. In order to succeed in the long term, the key term here is long term, a retailer must follow ethical practices. Unethical practices may benefit the retailer in a short term, but that would be being short-sighted. A far-sighted retailer knows that he will succeed only if he follows ethical practices. The retailer should develop codes of conduct for ethical selling and train their sales staff to follow these ethical selling principles. Today, retailers, consumers, and various stakeholders are extremely cautious of the concepts of ethics. Big retailers like Gap, Nike, or Les Clébon are extremely particular about the source of their products. Which country are they sourcing from? Which vendor or factory are they sourcing from? They go to great lengths to verify that these factories where the product is being manufactured are safe for the workers, child labor is not being used, and the workers are paid fair wages. There is a minimum wage law. Are the workers being paid the minimum wages? Are they being made to sign on X amount, but they are being paid an amount which is lesser? Are they doing overtime? What is the rate for overtime? Are all the laws being followed by the factory or manufacturer? These are all aspects that many retailers across the world are very, very aware of and are ensuring that their suppliers or vendors are also ethical. Both retailers and consumers engage in unethical practices. So it is not only retailers, but we as consumers who indulge in a lot of unethical behavior. The system of setting sales targets forces the salespeople to be unethical because the salesperson has a sales target to achieve on a monthly basis. He has no option but at times to be unethical, to use pressure tactics to sell. The salesperson has to balance between the retailer's interests, the consumer's interests, and his own targets that have to be met. So how is the retail salesperson going to ensure that he's being ethical, that he's not doing wrong actions? An ethical salesperson should strive to respect the fundamental rights of a consumer. So what are the fundamental rights of a consumer? These four are the fundamental rights: the right to be safe, the right to be heard, the right to choose freely, and the right to be informed about the product, its benefits, or even demerits. So an ethical salesperson is one who respects the fundamental rights of the customer and sells based on these. What are the questions a salesperson should ask when he is unsure of the behavior or the decision he is undertaking? In order to be ethical, a salesperson should ask, is it a legal thing? Is what I'm doing right or wrong? Is it consistent with company beliefs and values? Is it right or appropriate? Is it okay for others to know about it? Is it going to make me feel bad? Very often we do things which are not right, which are unethical. We feel bad about it later, but we have already done the activity or action. Therefore, this is a question we need to ask ourselves before we undertake any activity. Let us look at some examples of unethical temptations for a salesperson. Making exaggerated claims to counter exaggerated claims of a competitor. Very often, the retailer or the retail salesperson will make a lot of exaggerated claims. Things which the product is not, aspects which the product cannot do, or benefits which the product cannot do. Therefore, these are unethical. For example, a certain cream may claim to make a person fairer. It is not true, but the retailer or the seller is making those claims. That is unethical. Offering a customer an unauthorized gift in return for their business. This is another pressure tactic or a way of bribing this buyer. Concealing information from a customer in order to meet your sales goals. This is also an unethical practice. It means you are not giving all details of the product or service to the customer. It also means you may be hiding some facts and figures from them, or you could be hiding some disadvantages or problems of that product from the customer. Divulging confidential information about one customer to another in order to facilitate a sale. Again, extremely unethical. You cannot discuss confidential information of one customer with another customer. Ethical conduct in sales usually means and includes the following: using a professional approach to customers, competitors, members of regulatory bodies, and colleagues within the same company. Characteristics of ethical conduct includes respectful interactions, consideration for cultural diversity, non-discriminatory behavior towards people who are different. Maybe they belong to a different caste or a creed, a different sex, a different race, or maybe they are differently abled. So the retail salesperson has to ensure he is not showing discriminatory behavior. He is not biased. Behave honestly and truthfully. Portray situations and products accurately. Make contributions to discuss about problems and solutions to the customer.